Hi, this is Manton Reese.
And this is Daniel Jalkut.
And this is Core Intuition, Driving Home in One Day. This episode is sponsored by Text Expander.
Well, Manton, I am now recording from the comfort and familiarity of my home office in Arlington, Massachusetts. And of course, we have to keep our reputation as the jet-setting world travelers that we sometimes are. So you, on the other hand, are not in Manton Reese's hometown of Austin, Texas.
Nope.
Give us an update. Where are you these days? And maybe why are you not in Austin, Texas?
I am in Santa Fe, New Mexico, on mountain time this morning as we're recording. And we are at the last couple days of what has been kind of like an epic road trip. It's had everything. It's got flights to Seattle, buying a car, big road trip through states, visiting colleges, vacationing. It has trains. It has bad weather, car breaking down, detour to Las Vegas yesterday. It has everything. It's been crazy. And we're wrapping it up though. Almost back home.
You're doing this thing where, you know, they say you should like take a different route home, drive to work and back home from work, a different route every day. Because like if some... Well, I guess they, when I say they, I mean like paranoid psychos. They say you should, you know, mix up your route because if anybody's trying to stalk you or something, they wouldn't be able to assume where you're going to be.
Okay.
And you're like doing the ultimate version of that because you're like, I'm going to fly to Seattle and then drive down the coast. And you know, most people would be like, wait a minute. You fly somewhere, you fly back. And you're just like going to use every kind of transportation. And you're like, just when you know, you go down, you get your subway pass out, you go down, you go through the turnstile, you walk to the other end of the platform, and then you walk out the exit before going upstairs, getting in a taxi to take a cab to the airport, you know, and then everyone's like, what? I thought he was taking a subway.
Yeah. We're not trying to evade anyone, but that would just add to the drama of the trip. If there was actually someone following us. No, the only person following us, of course, is Google, ever present, you know, knowing where. And so part of one of the mistakes we made a couple of days ago. So we're driving back from LA and this is out. We had some car trouble with this new car. And I'm telling you, like just being out in the middle of nowhere, stressing about a car that I'm only familiar with, a few days in.
And to clarify, then you said new car. I don't think you mentioned yet that you didn't just rent a car.
No. So we bought my uncle's used car. So used 2003 Volvo, you know, really nice car at the time, but it's an older car and it was ready for the trip, except turns out somewhere between Portland and San Francisco. You know, I've learned a lot about this car in the last week more than this is why I have electric cars, because they're simple. They have an electric motor and they have a battery. And basically nothing goes wrong except you have to pay attention to the tires and rotate them every once in a while. That's basically it. Very simple. You know, old-fashioned gas cars, not so simple. And we talk about this on the show and how if Apple ever does a car, of course it's going to be electric. This is just a reminder to me why cars should be electric. But I've learned a lot about radiator fans that run constantly at full speed after the car's off and drain the battery. And how to unplug. I've learned a lot on this trip. And
this is fine Swedish engineering.
Yeah. And you know, it's all worked out fine. And you know, sometimes when bad luck like this happens, good things happen. You know, it like you can't drive the car that day, so you do something else. And you know, we've had some unexpected kind of nice days because of bad luck, but everything is wrapped up good. We had the car fixed in LA. But getting back to the Google thing, Google actually rerouted us a little bit on this trip, and I wasn't really paying attention because, you know, it used to be you take a road trip across the United States, you have this fold-out map, you know, you pay attention to where you're going. Now, with Google Maps, Apple Maps, you don't really pay attention. You know you kind of need to be on I-40 or somewhere, but you just let the voice in your computer phone tell you where to go. And we didn't realize that it had rerouted us in not a great place, and there was bad weather and storms, and so yeah, we ended up staying in a city we didn't plan on. It's been kind of nuts, but it's been really good, and got to see a lot of stuff on this trip. And I don't know, we kind of been ignoring the internet a little bit. What has happened in the last week?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, I want to say something quickly about your following Google mm-hmm. advice, and particularly where you were driving. It brings back to mind, thank goodness you are safe and your family is safe. And I, you know, the odds of this happening are really minuscule, but it reminded me of a horrible tragedy, I think about 10 years ago now. A family from San Francisco that was driving in the Northwest was just paying attention to Google, and they got routed over like a weird mountain mm-hmm. pass that shouldn't have been routed across.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a horrible story. Long and short of it, some of them died.
Oh my gosh.
They ended up being stranded and burning their tires for fire and gosh. Stuff. So maybe not to bring down the tone of the show, but to say, hey, that's a real serious. Since then, I've actually been a little bit more skeptical of mm-hmm. Google Maps and Apple Maps and all the directions, because, you know, they're real. That's what happens when you let a computer be in charge of your fate. You know, it's like, often the directions are great, but they don't have any sense of nuance.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, they're so, it is weird sometimes when you're like, oh, this happened to me recently. We were driving somewhere and I felt like, oh, we didn't have, suddenly we didn't have internet coverage. And I was like, oh, that's weird. That means we can't use
right.
the navigation.
Now we're lost.
And it was like, and we don't have like a Thomas guide in the car.
Yeah.
And, you know, and none of my, if my wife was there, then she was there. But, you know, if it was just me and my kids, they wouldn't even know how to use the Thomas guide if it was mm-hmm. there.
No, you're right. And we had a moment like that on this trip where, I mean, I don't want to go into total details, but it is kind of interesting. And this is an area, we've done a lot of road trips through the U.S. We've never driven this route before back to Austin.
Yeah.
And because of the car trouble and getting repaired, long story short, I mean, we left L.A. like hours after we had intended to. And then we got stuck in just classic, you know, LA traffic, you know, the opening scene from La La Land, you know, we're like hours and hours in traffic, literally. And so we're way behind schedule. And yeah, Google rerouted us to a smaller highway off the interstate, which I didn't expect. And meanwhile, there's like storms, we have lightning, and there's, you know, we turn on this one road and there's a sign that's like, you know, watch out for flash flooding. And then my daughter gets an alert on her phone that's like flash flooding possible. And that, to me, that was like the third or fourth like clue that like this is not the right route to take at night. And it could mm-hmm. yeah, it could have been bad. Mm-hmm. So that's where we ended up. We were only like 45 minutes from Vegas. We ended up detouring and staying in a big city that's on the interstate, you know, playing it safe. But yeah, I mean, you're right. You don't pay attention. You get lazy with technology a lot. You don't pay attention. You're not sure where you're going.
Right. Anyway, Manton, you asked me what's been going on the internet. I feel like, well, it's been one of those weeks, one of those 2 week periods. First of all, I was traveling, as you know, and second of all, it has been unprecedented political madness, even by unprecedented political madness standards in the U.S. My mind is a blur. I know that things have happened. Apple had some earnings announcements. They were good. Apple stock went up. There were some leaked details about hardware devices from Apple. But frankly, I haven't been paying super close attention to that stuff. I've been trying to get my work done, trying to take care of, you know, odds and ends around the house. But, you know, I've mostly just been kind of trying to crank away like I had been trying to, you know, finish my Mars Edit 4 release. How has working on the road been going for you?
Well, it's been going slow. I thought I would do more work from the road. I actually thought that I would kind of keep up with email a little bit and that I would do a lot of writing. So I have a lot of writing to do for people who have backed the Microdot blog Kickstarter.
Right. The book, you mean?
They are wondering. Yeah. They're wondering why the book is not ready. And I had actually thought I would do a lot of blogging and writing for the book on the road, because it's a good time to, you know, you're out of your normal office, you're out of your normal routine. You can do kind of different work than you normally do. It seemed like a really good time to do that kind of work. Turns out, like, we've been on the road a lot the last few days, and we've had these kind of mishaps and unexpected detours, and I haven't had the time that I thought I would have. So I've just been doing really the bare minimum. I haven't even been blogging. I've been keeping up with support email, but just doing the bare minimum. And luckily, everything's running pretty smoothly with micro.blog. I haven't had any emergencies where, you know, if I'm on the road all day or we're vacationing or doing, you know, some tourist thing in a city that I have to take time away from that.
And you didn't like decide to, hey, I'm in Seattle, I'm about to buy a used car that might break down and I might get rerouted through LA and Vegas and flooding mountain passes, so I'm going to open up micro.blog to everybody.
Right. No. That would have been a terrible idea. Yeah, we still have some target dates to kind of start opening it up. And one thing we have done, I don't think I talked about this on the show, but a couple of weeks ago before I left, we gave everyone who has a micro.blog account an invite to invite, you know, a few other friends. And that's been a good way, I think, to start expanding the number of people that have access to the platform, you know, and I think we're going to do more of that before the public launch, because it's just a nice gradual way to roll it out. And we have a big mailing list now of people who have, you know, if you go to micro.blog right now and you don't have an invite code, there's a link to sign up on the mailing list to find out when it launches. So we have a big group of those folks, and I'm really looking forward to like start inviting those people kind of in batches and expanding the number of people that have access to it.
Yeah, that's good. So I'm glad that it's still, I'm looking at it right now. I have been using it off and on. I have to confess that I haven't fallen into my micro.blog habit as quickly or as reliably, I guess, as I thought I would, but I need to get back on it because I do enjoy, it has that feel of, or, you know, it has that early Twitter feel. And partly that's because there's a limited number of people there. And everybody who is there is very earnest about their participation. You know, there's nobody there that's like, micro.blog, lame. Mm-hmm. You know, like, why would they be there? They're, right. The people who are just on Twitter these days to be antagonists and just like shoot down. Well, first of all, you have like some community standards trying to fight that kind of thing. But I think also right now it's one of those cool things where, in the same way app.net had this, it's one of those things where everybody who's there is like a believer in the idea. And so it's kind of like if you were like, it's kind of hard to, I guess, like so many things in life, if you're like an enthusiast about something that becomes super popular, it's like really hard to go back and find the like core enthusiast crowd without like all the other people who've mm-hmm. come in too. Like, you know, if you're like a fan of a band that gets really big, my wife and I like Wilco, and if you go to a Wilco concert, it's kind of like we just laugh at like the number, not to disparage like quote unquote people who wear baseball caps, but you can just see like the kind of like college jock element. And I feel like there's something to Twitter that's kind of like that, where it's like everybody showed up.
Right.
And now it's like, okay, micro.blog is still just a bunch of like social nerds in a good way. That's my new marketing pitch for you.
Thank you. We'll run with that. Yeah. It's a small community, and you know, there's good and bad with that, but there's a lot of good. And one of the things that we need to do as we expand is just keep people engaged. Like, I mean, I think what you just said about, you know, I'm kind of there and kind of paying attention, but, you know, not totally active. That applies to a bunch of people. And, you know, the challenge now is doing a better job of, you know, sending those people emails. So, you know, don't forget to post to your blog, and, you know, here's a feature or a new app, or, you know, just kind of get people remembering, you know, why they joined and keep them kind of engaged. And it's hard to do, but I think there's a lot of potential there and a lot of things we can do. And also the thing people don't really realize, and it's becoming more and more clear the further we go with this, is that micro.blog, yeah, it's a social network, but it's really a blogging platform. And like there's a lot of value in it for people who want to blog and don't even really care about the social aspects. And I think that is kind of the hidden gem sort of, or like sort of the understated part of the platform that maybe people don't get, is that I think it's slowly growing, but I think it can be successful even if it doesn't take over and become as popular as you would normally need a social network and the network effect thing to happen for this kind of network. So I'm still super optimistic, but there's a lot we need to do to just keep people engaged, you know, keep people using it. People just, there's a lot of people that like back the project, but they're not aware of maybe, you know, the new iPhone app or the changes and new features. You know, we added Facebook cross posting, you know, things like that, just like new features, like just keep making sure people understand like how the platform is evolving.
Now, a few months ago, you were starting to celebrate the fact that you had a small but real amount of subscription revenue. And can you say anything about how that's going? Is that like continuing? Can you tell whether people are like stopping or are more people signing up? Or I know it's such a small group now still of the early, you know, the early registrants, but is that situation improved, stayed the same, gotten worse, or what do you make of that?
It's improved, and I'll say a couple things about it. So the first thing is any subscription service, software as a service, has some amount of churn. Like, not everyone sticks with it, right? I mean, we subscribe to web services all the time, subscribe for 6 months, decide we don't need it anymore, something, we cancel. Everything has some amount of churn, even like wildly successful software platforms that have, you know, 100 employees and, you know, millions in revenue or whatever. And the problem with a pre-launch service is that you don't have the new users coming in to offset the churn, right? So like, you need to have your growth. This is obvious business, but like, you need to have more growth and more people coming in than you're losing. So if you're losing only a couple percent of people or something, not bad. You need to actually have new customers coming in. We don't have a lot of new customers coming in yet because it's not public. So we're kind of in that middle phase of where some people might lose interest and some new people are coming in because of like invites, but not a lot of new people are coming in because we have this waiting list of, you know, thousands of people that want to come in, but we haven't opened it up yet. And so we're right on the verge of that. But there's a lot of other, like in terms of like subscription revenue and like paid customers and stuff, a lot of the people that backed the Kickstarter project, you know, if they only backed it for like 2 months, those people, I mean, it's been, you know, 2, 3, almost 4 months now. So like those people, if they still like it, are now paid subscribers, right? So even just in this last week, while we've been on this trip, you know, I'm seeing, you know, people switch over to paid, you know, hosted blog accounts. And so, you know, yeah, some of them will stick with them, some won't, that's fine. But I think we're on the right path still. And I'm really hopeful if we can keep everyone excited. And again, reminding people like you that like you should check out what's happening, that that we're on the right track.
Well, looking at it right now, I'm still sort of just like, kind of just like casually browsing it while we talk. And I'm struck by the idea that I think keeping it limited to the supporters and then invites is a good idea, not only for the stability of the site, but also there's kind of like, it's kind of like a kindling to start a fire type thing. Like, you can't just pour a bunch of like big logs on and light a match. Right. And I think there's something to be said for these people who are obviously passionate about it, starting the fire, so to speak, so that when other people come, there's actually something there, right? If you just threw the gates open, it would be like a million people coming because they heard the news about this new, quote unquote, new Twitter-like thing. And I know that's simplifying. You just spend a lot of time explaining it's a blogging platform, et cetera. But, you know, just to say that's how some people might perceive it. And if they all show up and there's nothing there, then they just all turn away at once.
Exactly.
Whereas you have like a smaller group of people making a community, I think that's good. I think it will appeal to people, and look forward to seeing how it grows when you open things up.
Yeah, and there's some kind of challenges too with the restrictions that we've set for ourselves in terms of like one of the problems is like people join and then they're not sure who to follow and like what to do, and there's a lot of work we can do there. Like we have purposely, this sounds kind of weird, but we purposely made it a little difficult to just randomly find users, because later in life, if it's successful, you don't want to necessarily stumble upon users that are misbehaving. So there's a little weird kind of gotcha with that in terms of, there's more we can do to make that first experience even better for people so that they know what to do and to find users that are, you know, that are playing nicely with the platform. And the photos, actually, I've mentioned this before and I've blogged about this. Photos is, I think, really critical to that. And that's why, like, in the iPhone app, we have like a, you know, discover people tab with like photos that people have been posting recently. And those are all hand curated. Like, we feature photos and, you know, luckily it's easy because people are posting amazing photos all the time. And, but that's a great way to discover people who are kind of engaged in the platform. And I've said this before, but like, photo blogging, I think, is a really critical part of how a microblog could be used and kind of open people's eyes to, yes, they don't have time to write long blog posts, but everyone has time to take a great photo and post it every once in a while. And because the cross-platform in micro.blog, obviously I'm biased, but it's just way better than any, I mean, it really, it's way better than anything else. Like, cause it cross-posts photos to Twitter, like embeds them, does the same thing for Facebook, includes the photo. You know, it's got an iPhone app with filters and different things. I mean, it's much better than any like homegrown cross posting kind of solution, that a lot of people are seeing that and kind of using that as the photos as the way to start. Like, that's the place they can start, and then from there they can do more blog posts or not, just kind of evolve from there.
Cool. Well, maybe I'll try to get into that and post some photos so that I can get respected by the micro.blog algorithm, the human algorithm.
Yes. Okay, this week we're sponsored by Text Expander. Communicate smarter with Text Expander. Use Text Expander to power through repetitive communication. Standardize and improve written replies you do every day. Bring order to your meeting notes with a fillable template. Write a customizable reference request once, then use it every time you need it. Recall your best words instantly, repeatedly. Summon your collected knowledge with a few letters and a hotkey. Share with others and make everyone more productive. Try Text Expander free for 30 days. Text Expander subscriptions include software for Mac, iPad, iPhone, and Windows. Visit textexpander.com/coreint to start your free trial.
Manton, we have been so lucky to have Text Expander and other Smile stuff sponsoring us for so long now. I feel like I've said everything good there is to say about Text Expander, but of course, that's not true because there's so much about Text Expander. There's things about Text Expander even I don't understand or haven't figured out or haven't used yet. And that's not to say it's complicated, just to say there's a treasure trove of things because it's kind of a platform for this whole genre of saving and then reusing your best communication. And I think about this a lot because, you know, as an indie developer, I need to put my best self out there as much as I can. And Text Expander really helps me to refine the way that I explain things, the way that I communicate with customers. Everything that I do in written form, if I care about the way it comes across, I can probably work on it and make it better. You know, the phenomenon of, I think there's like a French expression that's like, stairway like memory or something. It's like when you're walking down the stairs out of the room and you remember what you wished you had said. And with Text Expander, you get the opportunity to edit what you said so that the next time you say it and every time after that, you will be just as clever, just as clear, just as respectful, just as patient, just as, you know, maybe hiding your frustrations if you're dealing with a difficult customer. You can be all the best things about yourself again and again. And with Text Expander, you can also share that with your teams. If you're in a company, you can make sure that all of your written communication is consistent, respectful, comes across great, and it's just a great utility for the Mac. I've been using it forever. You can also, of course, get it for iPad, iPhone, and Windows, and we thank them so much for sponsoring the show. Once again, visit textexpander.com/coreint and start your free trial. So Manton, I like your idea about getting involved with micro.blog using photos. And it's funny that this comes up right now because after, like, I don't know how long Instagram has been around, but it's been a long time. And after, like, I guess 10 years of having an account but not really using it, I have started trying. It's funny. It's like my baby step away from Twitter has led me to Instagram when
you're going the wrong way.
It should have led me to you.
Yes.
But it's like one of these things where it's like, I keep noticing, oh, what? Where are all my friends? They're not on Twitter. Oh, some of them are on micro.blog, but some of them are on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some friends who have literally stopped using Twitter and are exclusively using Instagram. And that was sort of a wake-up call to me, like, hey, I like being friends with them, whether they're my, you know, long-time, like, real-world friends or whether they're just my, quote-unquote, you know, online friends. I like being connected with them, and the way to stay connected with them is to go over to Instagram and post my photos there and then click the little button on Instagram that says, also post this to Twitter. And so instead of, like, typically, instead of posting a photo to Twitter these days, I'll try to remember to go to Instagram and post it there. Now, I've got this whole new idea in my head that I should just go to micro.blog and post it there. But I have a feeling, although I can have it auto-reposted to Twitter from there, I don't know if I can have it also. I guess I want my photos to go to all the places.
Yeah.
So how much can I do that with micro.blog?
So that's it's an interesting question. And I think there are, before I answer it, I'll say that there are a lot of people like that. They want their photos to go to all the places. There's also a lot of people that don't want that. They want to kind of tailor their photos and their posts a little bit differently to every platform. And that's fine too. Instagram is interesting because their API is extremely crippled. And there is actually no way to post to Instagram from another app. It's very locked down. And part of the idea with micro.blog is to be the opposite of that, to be as open as possible. And that's why posting to micro.blog, you know, I have a custom API, but by default, the way you post is with an open standard called MicroPub. I also support XML RPC, so MarsEdit can post. Oh, by the way, I should say, I don't know if I told you this. I think I blogged about it, but I expanded the XML RPC support in micro.blog so that MarsEdit can upload photos to micro.blog now, which is really great.
And you did that by adopting the Meta Weblog
exactly
API? Yeah.
Exactly. And as part of that process, you can even have titles on some posts. There's a lot of people that want a little more control over their posts, not just short posts. So I'm kind of slowly evolving that. That's another discussion that maybe we'll touch on later. But so I support posting from MarsEdit, but I support this new standard from the indie web community, and that is now a W3C recommendation called MicroPub. And that's like the open default way to post text and photos to micro.blog. And one of the nice things about that is there are other tools that I didn't write that support that. And one of them integrates with Instagram. So there's no way to post to micro.blog or any platform and have it automatically post to Instagram because their API doesn't support it. And some people have like reverse engineered their private API, but that's no good, mm-hmm. right? That might not even work anymore for all I know. It could be shut down at any moment. Like you're living on the fringe with that. It's not a good idea, although I did consider it. But there are other tools that will do the opposite. Well, you can post to Instagram and then it can automatically post from there to micro.blog or something else. And so one of those tools is called Own Your Gram. And I actually have a help article on help.micro.blog where I've kind of outlined how to connect to those kind of services. And so a lot of people are doing that. They're posting to Instagram, and then a service like Own Your Gram automatically sees that post and then posts it to your microblog. And so there's a lot of different ways you can do this. And I personally, even though I love Instagram and I really respect what they built, I also hate some things about it now. I hate the algorithmic timeline. I hate the ads that are just out of control. And so I still browse through my friends' photos on Instagram, but I no longer post there. It's just not worth it for me anymore. Instead, I just post to my own site, my own photos, and that's my approach. But the nice thing is, if you have a platform that's pretty open and it connects to other apps and services, you can choose. There's not just one way to do it. You can post to Instagram, you can post to your microblog, you know, whatever. There's a lot of different choices.
Right. Okay. Well, I like this. I'm not surprised to learn how limited Instagram's API is, and that is disappointing, but it's this Own Your Gram thing could be a way to at least, you know, keep things for people who do want things to go to all the places. They can still have it go to micro.blog, among the other things. And I think that's a good to know.
Yeah. And you'll get, if you do that, if you take that approach, you post to Instagram and then let a service cross-post to, not cross-post, but yeah, like pull the photo and post to micro.blog. As soon as it hits micro.blog, it'll take advantage of all the cross-posting features that micro.blog has. So for example, you could do that and then enable Twitter and Facebook cross-posting from micro.blog. And like I said before, it's much better than any other cross-posting service. So you kind of let micro.blog handle that aspect. And I know a bunch of people are doing that and are pretty happy with that workflow. Again, it's up to, you know, it's up to you or whoever wants to, you know, whatever the user wants to, I feel like the user should have control over the flow of where photos and text goes. And so I've tried to build a platform that's as open as possible.
I'm going to end up installing something like Own Your Twitter, and then I'm going to have an infinite recursive loop.
Right.
What's going to happen then, Manton? What's going to happen in micro.blog? Can it handle infinite recursive?
Don't try to break it, but I I don't think you can exactly do that. There were a couple places that could cause that, and so I have kind of hard-coded support to detect when that happens. And for example, there's micro.blog has feeds of not just your own posts, but feeds of everything in your timeline, which is really useful because you could like have an RSS reader subscribe to your timeline in micro.blog, which means you can use an RSS reader or a JSON feed reader now to see all your posts from micro.blog from all your friends and replies and things like that. Super useful. But it gets kind of weird if you use that feed to cross post or something like that. So I detect some of those situations to make sure there's not an infinite loop of cross posting. Yeah. Don't try to break it. Please don't try to break it.
Don't try this at home. Well, Manton, it's funny you mentioned, meanwhile, I'm trying to like push the future limits of Mars Edit support for like the latest WordPress APIs. You are updating from Blogger to MetaWeblog.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're working both ends of the, right. the evolution here.
Yeah.
But I don't fault you for what you're choosing to implement, because for the kinds of things you want to support, there's really no reason, a few reasons, for you to use a more advanced API. And well, to be fair, you do use a more advanced API, the MicroPub API you mentioned. But it's just kind of funny because I suspect the number of people who still use a Blogger or MetaWeblog API configuration in Mars Edit is extremely, extremely low. Hmm. But now with micro.blog, it's probably going up a little bit. It's one of these weird things, right? You never know who's going to come in and start supporting some standard API that happens to work with the app. But that's cool. It's really been fun for me to see, as one of the other cool things about micro.blog for me is seeing people on micro.blog like talking about, oh, I just used Mars Edit to connect to this. And I think I noticed in one of your recent blog posts about it, you even admitted that using Mars Edit is an end run around the post size limit. And I was like kind of surprised because I knew that from like chatting with you, and I was like, yeah, Manton better fix that. Better put down the steel boot and stop people from abusing this service. But you're like, yeah, if you want to abuse the service, this is how you do it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I kind of alluded to this a minute ago, but there are a lot of people I'm discovering that, and this shouldn't be really a surprise, but a lot of people that want a microblog, but also want to occasionally post long posts, and they don't want to use two services for that. And so I think it's natural that all the micro.blog's focus will always be short posts, and always like the whole idea is making it simpler to blog, less friction, less options, just fewer fields and things you have to click around on. Just make it as easy to use as Twitter and Facebook. That's the focus. But that doesn't mean we can't also have support for titles and longer posts. And so over the last couple months, I wasn't sure how to approach that. And I think finally, just a couple weeks ago, as I was working on this, kind of came to a conclusion about how this stuff should work. And one of the decisions I made is XML RPC and like Mars Edit support, which I kind of consider legacy in the, not in a bad way, but in the way that it should work with tools that were built for it, mm-hmm. Is that gives you kind of full control. Like that's like almost like the power user, like API, because when you're using a tool like Mars Edit or another one, maybe that tool handles HTML and image tags and things like that for you. Right. And so I kind of accept that input as like, you know what you're doing. You're using Mars Edit, you're using something else, right? Whereas the MicroPub API, I'm taking that as kind of a fresh approach, and I haven't toggled all of this on yet, but I'm slowly starting to make that a little more limited and more geared toward what micro.blog was built for, which is simple posts, markdown support, escaping HTML so that you don't make mistakes. Like, because if you're just using an iPhone app and there's a text field, you should be able to type whatever. It's like when you post to Twitter with a Twitter app, you can't put HTML tags. You can't mess it up. And so micro.blog should also work that way. And so I've made some tweaks to that workflow so that if you're using MicroPub, it starts to work more like that. But there's still an API that if you need kind of full control, you can still do that. So it's kind of like there's the HTML kind of API and kind of the markdown optimized API is the way I'm thinking about it. And, still have some tweaks on that, but that's kind of the path I'm taking. And I think it makes the most sense both for future apps and also for the best support for something like Mars Edit.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. So that's, I'm going to add to my list, not just posting more photos to micro.blog, but now I'm going to post them with Mars Edit.
Yes. Yes, do.
It's going to be pretty exciting.
Let me, it works. It works. I promise. Let me know what you think of it.
You know, I break everything.
Yeah. You're a very good tester. Very good.
All right, Manson. Well, I'm going to let you get back to your semi-relaxing Santa Fe getaway. And I hope that your 2003 Volvo takes you reliably across. Are you going to drive home in one day?
Driving home one day. Yeah, we've had a couple really long days. We're taking today to chill and relax and do stuff in Santa Fe. And then driving home in one day. It's going to be a very long, long day.
Yeah. Okay, well, enjoy the day in Santa Fe. Get some of those blue corn. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of good blue corn things. Like
yeah.
Probably get some blue corn enchiladas or something.
Yep, I'm looking forward to that.
All right, I'm jealous of that. And hope you have a safe trip home, and I will catch up with you again next week.
Great, talk to you later.